and very immovable. You experience like the immovable mindfulness is. But the mindfulness is on one thing, very clear, very sharp, but it doesn't move at all. And it brings eventually what the Buddha said, it reaches its peak in the fourth jhana. That's the peak of mindfulness, where with complete equanimity you're just fully aware of just one thing. Fully aware, unmoving. And that's as powerful a mindfulness as the mind can have. Once you know that type of mindfulness, then you know how even ridiculous it is to think you can become enlightened without jhanas. Without that powerful mindfulness, you can't get the powerful insights. So you begin to realize for yourself what mindfulness can be and the sort of mindfulness which you need to become enlightened. The powerful ones are the ones which will dig deeply into the nature of things, not the coarse ones. So you do actually notice there are many different levels of mindfulness. And mindfulness isn't just one little thing which is there in daily life and which is the same in deep meditation, and there's only one type of mindfulness. Know that mindfulness has so many different degrees of power and subtlety and penetration. There are many types of knives, blunt ones and sharp ones, and all in between. It's just like mindfulness. So this is what mindfulness is in Buddhism, in meditation. How to develop it, and how to make it very sharp and very strong, and how eventually to get that mindfulness which you can use to dig deep into the nature of your mind and uncover the beautiful treasures of anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness and non-self. It's amazing you say those words, it's a great treasure of Buddhism, and people think they can't be treasures. How can suffering be a treasure? How can impermanence? We want something really marvellous and uplifting, like beauty, like transcendence, like cosmic consciousness, like the essence of all being. This is why people don't find the treasures, because they don't know what they're looking for. Anyway, that's the talk on mindfulness. Anyone got any questions about that this morning? Yes. When you're tired and you expend energy, is there a chance you might just put too much energy forth and just end up going to sleep because you're tired? This is where you become very skillful as a meditator, because sometimes you get really tired and you put really a lot of energy in and tiredness completely disappears and you're just awake all night, you're just buzzing all night. And as a monk, you play around with things like this, and you find out just sometimes just how much of a con man or con woman the mind is. So I'm really sleepy, I really need some sleep. And you call its bluff, I'm not going to sleep. And you find out what the mind can actually do. And it's amazing what this mind can do. You can be all the reasons in the world why you should be tired. You've been working all day, it's been hot, you know, you haven't had enough food, you know, you've been a bit sick. So what? You sit there and you get incredible energy up. And then you really start to wonder about this body and this mind, just how it deceives you. And you sit sort of perfectly clear for many hours. If you know that you can do that, then you can play around with these things. However, there's other times you realize that, you know, you are tired and you just haven't got what it takes to sort of to overcome that hindrance. So then you go and have a rest. This is where you get very skillful on to know when to fight your battles and when just to go and retreat. But don't always retreat. Every now and again, so stand your ground and just see what you can do. I think it's good fun, especially when you win. You know, does that answer the question? Yeah, mindfulness and concentration. The concentration, what's meant by concentration, is like the sustained mindfulness. It is when it's a type of mindfulness which is that subtle and that peaceful. It just lingers on its object, but doesn't go anywhere else. So this is a very beautiful way of describing that which we mean by concentration, that which is really useful. Be able to sustain your attention on something. And that's what you're training at in this meditation. You want to sustain your attention in the present moment. The important word is sustain it. It's easy to be aware in the present moment for a couple of seconds, but to sustain it for a whole hour, it takes a lot of practice and skill. It's easy to be aware of the breath, but to sustain attention on the breath for a long time. Actually, it's not that hard to get up a samadhi nimitta, but to sustain your attention on it for long enough for it to do its work and get you into a jhana, that's what's the skill of meditation. And if you can want to be wise, to look at the mind and sustain your attention on it without moving, so you really see anatta, non-self, that's a difficult one. Because people's minds just wander off too much. And they can't really keep on one thing long enough to fully understand it. When they're looking, they're not really looking, they're talking about it. When you're talking about something, you're not seeing it. So that's why that people never actually get to see the truth. Does that answer the second question? Sorry. Yeah. Is it possible to have concentration without mindfulness? You have to have some degree of mindfulness, but you can be sort of like concentrated, say, on the television. Is the thing which comes to my mind. So you're sustaining your attention on there, but there's not really much attention sort of present which you're sustaining. And you know that there's not much mindfulness there if you can't really remember what you did. Now, this is a common question in meditation teachers. Some of you have been asked this question before. Do you remember where your shoes are when you came into this hall? Which way are they pointing? Nice little question there, because so often these little things, we take off our shoes or we put them at the doorway there without really paying attention, and that means we can't remember which way they're pointing. If you took them off with attention, with full mindfulness, you'd remember exactly where they are right now, which direction they're pointing, whether they're parallel or skewed or whatever. And it just shows us just how very often that we don't practice mindfulness and we don't remember. It's the same if you're watching the television. You may have concentration there, you're sustaining your attention on it, but people ask you what happened. Well, I'm not really quite sure. Unless it was very exciting, then you might remember exactly what happened. But so often, so much of life. What did you eat for breakfast this morning? What did you eat first? What did you eat last? If you had full attention, you'd be able to recall completely what you ate and how you ate it. This is the difference between mindfulness and concentration, and how you can know if it's mindfulness, because you can remember, you can recall. Yes? The gatekeeper, the instructions of the gatekeeper, you can make those instructions up yourself. Because if you make the instructions up, it's harder for you to do, therefore you'll remember them much easier. If I give them to you, it's just too easy, and you find it's not as powerful as if you put the instructions in your own words to the gatekeeper each stage. That's why sometimes that we give guided meditation. You know, you've been to Nalamala, give the guided meditation, say, right now to watch the present moment, just be aware of the present moment. It's nowhere near as powerful as if you say that for yourself, clearly and deeply. Because I'm just doing it all for you. It's just like being a, like almost like in the dog training camp. Sit, walk, sit. Now stand. So that's nowhere near as powerful as if you training yourself. But sometimes people say that, oh, you can come to Nolamara and I can get quiet, but when I go home I just can't do it. Because you're not developing your own mindfulness, your own strength. Any other question before we finish off this morning? Yeah? It's an interesting point that you're saying about the in the first days of meditation, awareness in the present moment, you know, chatter. A lot of times chatter is about the past or about the future. However, that you can just take the chattering itself as the object of your attention. It's just, I'm chattering now. And so you just know the chattering as it's occurring. So you're fully listening to the chattering. And that becomes the object of your attention. As long as it's right now, this is an experience which is happening right now. It's in a thought, it's in a chatter, and I'm just going to watch it. That's right, yes. You're not chattering about the chatter. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah? Indeed, yes, sometimes you say that if you watch the chatter, you get caught up with it and get caught along with it. There is that way of just actually standing back from the chatter and just like watching it with a sense of like distance from it, as if it's like an object. As if it's not you chattering, you just listen to someone else chattering. And this is actually that perspective of mindfulness where you're watching as if it were through a window. You're not actually right there in the action. It's like the sort of mindfulness which you're watching like a movie. You know, you're in the seat, and the people may be killing one another, or they may be doing all sorts of things. But you always remember that you're just in the seat, you're watching all of this. So there's a sense of like detaching from what you're watching, a separation. If you do that, you don't get caught up with it. However, if you start to attach to what you're seeing, how that manifests is that when someone gets shot, you jump out of your seat, or when the alien comes into the screen, you go ooh, or you shriek or whatever. You really get caught up with the action on the screen. You forget there's even a screen there. The edges of the screen all disappear. You may be sitting in an armchair, you don't know you're sitting in an armchair, it's as if you're right there in the action. Just the skill of the movie makers has transported you from the comfortable seat in the movie theatre, you know, into the jungles of, is it Jurassic Park or whatever it was? And yet you think you're right there. And that's when you've lost some of your mindfulness. So if you're watching the thought, always that keep that distance and separation. You're watching from a place, you know, in your mind, which is separated from that thought. So it's just, oh, this is an interesting thought. But you don't get caught along with it. You watch it as if it was somebody else's thought. As if it's just like words, sounds, just rolling through the screen of the mind. Does that make any sense? Actually, on that sort of that metaphor of a movie screen, that sometimes that if you put what you're experiencing, imagine it as on a movie screen, then one of the beautiful ways of developing meditation is to always remember that the movie screen always has a center to it. that's where you're paying most of your attention. There's like the characters on a movie, there may be three or four characters and all sorts of the extras around the back. You always like centre on the main character. And you find if you're watching the television or watching a movie, you find that when you're watching the main character on the centre of the screen there, the flower pot on top of your television after a while disappears. You can't see it. The controls on the side disappear. And in your vision, what you're actually aware of is just the screen, actually not even the edges of the screen, just the centre of the screen. And you're not aware of anything on the edge of that experience. That's all disappeared, that's all fallen off the screen. And this is actually what you can do in meditation. If, for example, you're aware of the present moment, past and future may be on the outside of the screen, but centre on the present moment. And then after a while, just the past and the future will have fallen off the screen. Just like the controls or the flower pot on top of the television. Literally falls away from your attention. And then if it's the silent awareness of the present moment, you can put silence in the middle and all the thoughts on the outside. And then eventually, if you're really focusing on the silence, the silence, the silence, keeping that in the centre of your screen, all the thinking, the chatter will eventually fall off. You won't see it anymore, just like the flower pot. And you put the breath in the third state at the centre of your screen. And everything else, the sounds outside, aches and pains in the body, itches, put that on the edge. But always keep the breath at the centre of your screen. And after a while you find all those things, as your mindfulness focuses in and in and in, all those other things disappear. They're gone. Just the same way as things disappear from around the television screen. And this is how you can actually focus in onto things. However, if you're watching the breath, and there's a sound of, say, like a helicopter in the distance, and if you put that in the centre of the screen, the helicopter sound, then you find the breath falls off the edge of the screen. You've lost your mindfulness. You've lost the object of attention. So it's a very nice simile, that centering on the meditation object in the centre of your screen. And it works very, very well. Does that make sense? Okay, well, I think that's enough for today because it's just gone past 9 o'clock.